It is indeed a very great pleasure and a privilege to be with you here on this campus. It is a privilege for anyone, student or visitor, faculty member or executive, to be on this campus. Brigham Young University represents something different in education, different from anything that the world knows anything about. Because this school is a physical witness of all that Mormonism stands for. And when you come here, you come with the realization that you are coming to a Mormon institution, an institution which is designed for only one purpose, and that is to build up the kingdom of God here on the earth. And your coming here as individual students is to help you to become more skillful and stronger in doing your part in the building of the kingdom of Almighty God here on the earth. So often people misunderstand the purpose of education. In our church, we believe deeply, wholeheartedly, in education. We believe that the glory of God is intelligence. We believe likewise that the glory of mankind is intelligence. We believe that God expects us to love Him not only with our physical being, but with all our mind, and that therefore we should develop our minds so that we may more effectively teach others to join with us in building the kingdom. We should develop our minds so that we may skillfully and effectively, but humbly, be His servants in doing that which is best for His great cause, in better dedicating ourselves to His work. As you come here, and we're glad to welcome you on this great campus at the beginning of this season, as you come here, we ask that you come with a proper perspective in mind with respect to your education, and that you come knowing that you are to receive your education here to help you to live better lives, to be better Latter-day Saints, to make a greater contribution to the world. Our greatest objective in life is certainly not to just build a career. We must build careers, every one of us. We must be successful here in life. We did not come here to be failures. We came into mortality to be successful in every sense of the word, to rise above problems and difficulties, and to achieve great things. God expects that of us. He expects the very best that's in us. He expects you to give your very best to your learning processes here, and then to the careers that will follow your learning process. But He expects also that you will have in mind that the learning process and the careers to follow will be means to an end and not the end, and that the end is really not success in your career, but success in building a great Latter-day Saint life, success in helping to build the kingdom of Almighty God here on the earth. Will you have this in mind as your true objective in being here at school? Will you realize that the Lord does expect the best of us, the very best in everything that you can do, but that it all must be built toward the great objective of building His kingdom and of adding glory to His name? We are His servants and we are His children. we have a great purpose in life, and that purpose is to build the kingdom of God. There may be some here who may not believe in this way, and the reason they would not believe in this way is likely that they do not believe fully in God. We are living in a world which is rapidly becoming more and more godless, in spite of the fact that today we have more reason to believe in God than at any time in many centuries past. There is more reason today, scientific and other reasons, to believe in God than we've ever had before that we know of. And yet there are many who now are becoming Antichrist. We hope that your attendance at this school will prevent any tendency whatsoever on your part toward Antichrist. Antichrist appears in various ways. There is the form of Antichrist which is so common to the Russian government today, which takes a stand that there is no God, that it's all mythology, and that he is not even to be recognized in any sense. And then there is the form of Antichrist which some intellectual people take, in which they feel that religion is fine when you're children. It's good to help you over the childhood years, but when you become a man or a woman, you outgrow childish things, and therefore you outgrow your religion. There are many who feel that way, and people of that kind are just as much Antichrist as are the Russians who believe in their communistic and atheistic notions. And then there are those other forms of Antichrist which come into our thinking from time to time. It's Antichrist to be immoral. It's Antichrist to violate any of the fundamental commandments of God. Because whenever we violate one of the fundamental commandments, we fly in the face of providence, literally. And by our action, we deny any belief in the fundamental truth that is presented in that commandment. Sin is apostasy, and apostasy is Antichrist. To us today has been given the great responsibility of holding the name of Christ high in the world. In the midst of disbelief, a growing disbelief, in the midst of people who feel that they have outgrown religion, we, the Latter-day Saints, have a great charge that has been given to us by the Almighty. We must be the living witnesses that there is a Christ. We must be the living witnesses that God does live. And we in our lives must demonstrate by our lives that the principles of the gospel form the one and only true path to success and happiness. And that's the reason we have this kind of university, where we come and learn all the important things that we need to learn in education and in science. We develop our intelligence, but with it we realize that God does live, and by our education we prove that he lives, and by our living the gospel we obtain a testimony that indeed these things are true. Every Latter-day Saint must be a witness for Christ. Every Latter-day Saint, by his daily acts, must demonstrate his faith and his belief in the divinity of Christ. On Sunday, my wife and I attended a state conference in our own state. There we heard a man who was the father of seven children stand and describe the experience that he and his wife had in the birth of their seventh child. After the travail was over and the father was admitted into the hospital room where the mother lay with the new babe in her arms, he said that she reached out and he reached out and they took hold of hands. Not a word was spoken, but there was a tightening of the hand clasp. And he said that each one knew what the other had in mind, and that both of them, by that little hand clasp, renewed a covenant that they had made with each other before their first child was born, that they would dedicate their lives to rearing this child as a true Latter-day Saint, to believe in God and to serve God. And then this father said to this congregation, "What is it that I want most to give to this my son, my new son?" And then he said, "There are two things. One, I desire to give to him faith, faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. That is the great gift that I want to give to him. But the second gift must accompany it. That second gift will be the gift by which he may learn to express that faith, to give expression to it from within, so that not only would there be the faith and the belief, but that there would be the energetic expression of that faith. The expression being a daily living of that gospel. It would be an expression of one who is an exponent of that gospel, one who would preach it by his daily living, one who would develop further faith by study and daily living, and one who would maintain the standards of the faith regardless of all costs. One who would be willing to die for the faith. One who would be willing to live for it, living every hour and every day for the faith, building constantly the kind of character, the kind of skills that would allow that boy to be a success in his chosen profession or career, but realizing that that profession or career is but tributary to something greater, and that is the building of the kingdom of God. It is actually a fact, my young brothers and sisters, that you and I lived before we were born in this world. It is actually a fact that when we were in that pre-existent life, we lived with God and were taught by him. Think of the type of instruction you received in your pre-existent life as you were taught by your heavenly parents. Infinite people, infinite personages teaching you likewise to become infinite. And then they sent you here to receive this further instruction. It is a fact, my brothers and sisters, that God watches over you and that you are here with a purpose in mind. The purpose for which you have come, because you were chosen spirits in that pre-existent world, is that you here become exponents of the gospel of Christ. That is your great career. We acquire our education and our other skills by all means we acquire them to help us to be better exponents. Let us never become blinded to the fact that our careers are but tributary to something else. Let us remember that we are here as the emissaries of Jesus Christ. Every one of you, according to the prophet Joseph Smith, received a commission in that pre-existent world to come here to become exponents of Christ. Every one of you was foreordained to the work of building the kingdom here. Do not set aside that foreordination. Do not set aside the main purpose of your existence in order to make a great success in just a means to the end. We are here as exponents of Christ. We are here with the possibility of becoming perfect, even as God. Can't you see the connection between the first and great commandment and this ultimate goal? We are to become perfect as God is perfect. God, His glory is intelligence. He commands us to serve Him with all our might and with all our mind. We are here to develop our minds and our skills so that we may work toward the perfection which is God's kind of perfection. That's our objective, that's our goal. Will you work toward it? Will you live for it? Will you put things in their proper perspective so that really first things will always come first? So that there will never be any spirit of the Antichrist in your soul, but rather that you'll be an exponent of Christ constantly in your lives. And that means daily living of all the righteous principles. It means a proper understanding of your position here in life. I bear you solemn testimony, my young friends, that what I say to you today is true. I bear you solemn testimony that there is a God in heaven. I know it as well as I know that you live. I know it as well as I know that I live. God does live, and He is a person, and He's our Father. He's as real as you are real, and He's filled with love and compassion for His children, and He hopes for your success in life. He hopes and prays that you will become like Him. Is it unnatural at all that children should become like their parents? God is our Father. We are His literal offspring. We can become like Him. We are commanded to become like Him. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And I bear you solemn testimony that Jesus the Christ lives, that He lives as you live, that He's just as real as you are real. I bear you solemn testimony that He not only died on the cross, but that He came forth in a literal physical resurrection, and that it was a fact that He could say, "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." It was a fact that 2,500 Book of Mormon people came up one by one in a line and felt the marks of the crucifixion in His hands and feet and side. It was a fact that they knew by their physical experience that He lives. It is a fact that He appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith, and that the Father likewise appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith. I bear you testimony that that visitation was not a dream. It was not something that came out of the prophet's mind. It was not even a vision in the sense in which we normally speak of visions. The Father and the Son came to the prophet Joseph Smith physically and literally, even as you have come to this campus. So the Father and the Son literally and physically were there in that sacred grove and faced that boy and talked with him as one man speaketh to another. I bear you solemn testimony that Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery saw Jesus the Christ there in the Kirtland Temple, and that they saw his face and his figure, his beautiful white hair, whiter than the driven snow, and that they heard his voice as he spoke to them and announced that in truth he was the Christ. These things I know by reason of the experiences God has given to me. And I bear you this testimony and ask you to believe it and to know that you are really and truly the children of a real God who is really and truly your Father, and that you have come here as his servants in an unbelieving world, and that you have been foreordained to become exponents and representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ here in this world. That's why you're here. Don't set aside this great mission. Take advantage of the marvelous opportunities offered to you here in this great university to combine learning with spirituality so that you may become the strongest kind of Latter-day Saint. And then you will realize the great significance of the revelation to the prophet Joseph Smith when the Lord said, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that ye serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that you may stand blameless before God at the last day. This is my humble prayer for you, and I ask it in the sacred name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.